The Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful day in a not stressful commute home. Like, why couldn't I think of the word for not stressful?
Leisurely?
Leisurely. Thank you.
There you go.
That's not worthy of a bell, though.
No, not really.
But it's a good word. It's a good word.
Real quick, before we get into our vibe check here.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of games in the books now, in the day one of the baseball postseason. Tigers edged the Guardians 2-1 in a great pitcher's duel. It's so interesting. Those two teams played a bunch down the stretch. The Guardians made an amazing run to overtake the Tigers, but the Tigers managed to squeeze in, and they beat the I almost said the I word. They're not the I word anymore, the Indians. But Tarek Skubal, 14 strikeouts. Tigers had a safety squeeze to get a 2-1 lead and hung on for dear life to win the first game. And it looked like a Little League game where the two pitchers were so dominant, nobody hit the ball out of the infield. So the Tigers are one win away, as are the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Another beautiful, great atmosphere. This is a throwback to my childhood, the 84 LCS Cubs-Padres. But Dansby Swanson and the Cubs won 3-1. Swanson didn't do a whole lot. But back-to-back homers in the fifth inning was the key for the Cubs. About to get started here in the next hour, Yankees-Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. Adam has already asked me if I'm going to hate watch the Yankees. Of course. But Yankees-Red Sox, one of the greatest rivalries in sports. That's going to be great theater tonight. And then the late game, the Dodgers against the Reds. It should be the Mets. But I'll root for the Reds. I'll jump on the Reds bandwagon. I'm not a hater. I'm not bitter. Yes, I am.
Pretty much.
I'm bitter.
Yeah. You'll be very happy if they
big
do.
Time,
yeah.
I'm telling you, like, I've said this before, I am a petty sports fan. If your team beats my team, I don't want your team to succeed. So it's like, oh, you know, the Reds, they beat out the Mets for the final playoff spot. I hope the Reds do well. No! I hope the Reds get their asses kicked. Oops, I said ass again. Sorry, guys. It's been a couple of hours. It's okay. Speaking of we ass, Cam Ward. And this is something we're going to do throughout the course of the season. I think this is the third time we've done this. The first time we did this was right after the Titans officially drafted Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. And then we did it again at the end of the preseason. We call it the Cam Ward vibe check. So here's what I need you all to do at 615-737-1025. Simply tell me, how are you feeling about Cam Ward after 4 weeks? That's all I need to know. It's a vibe check. So let's just quickly, before we get Willie and Derek, to answer this very question. We know the Titans are 0-4. We know that Cam Ward is 64 completions out of 125 attempts, 614 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, so a completion percentage of 51.2%. He has been sacked a league-high 17 times, and he has been pressured on 44% of his dropbacks.
Man.
So keep that all in mind, and we're going to dig into the weeds a little bit here. We'll get into some fancy stats and such. But this is all I need to know from you at 615-737-1025. A simple vibe check. How are you feeling about Cam Ward through 4 weeks? Willie Donick, why don't you answer that question first?
Okay, and so I'm going to go with your thing, a vibe check, and not let's get deep into the weeds on the stats, even though there's
that will
some
be
stats.
Part of it.
Yeah, and it has to be. But what I like so far, I like that he's still got spunk. He's got passion. He has not been broken by all of the chaos around him. A lot has gone wrong, even more than I envisioned. And it starts with the offensive line. The injury to J.C. Latham is a killer. The chain reaction with that and the fact that Dan Moore has not been as good as they hoped he would be. Not even close. That is hurting them big time. They cannot block plays for third and long. But despite all that, I love his competitive juices. He's got a great arm. I think he's going to work hard to get better at the things he can get better at, reading defenses and such. So my vibe check is in the fire, he is holding tight in the fire suit. Like you picture the guy in the fire suit running through the fire. That's Cam Ward right now. He's got a pretty good suit on. I hope it stays tight. Hope it stays in there.
Here's when you said that, the first thought that came to mind is not the fire suit, but you know when police officers are training canines and they have the guy wearing the big suit and then they unleash the German Shepherd
suit.
And
yes.
That Cam Ward is in that suit right now. Cam Ward is on the ground in that suit with the German Shepherd attempting to tear at his flesh. He's holding strong. But you said fire suit. I say whatever you call that canine suit. Anyway, Derek Mason.
I'm good with Cam right now. But I still think there are things that he needs to get better at. And I'm with Trevor. You don't want him. And I've said this even at the beginning. You want to make sure, above anything else, that he doesn't develop new bad habits. That's what you want. Now, he's going to have some bad habits coming into the league. What you try to do is you try to, you know, get rid of those or minimize whatever, you know, bad habits he has or whatnot. You try to minimize those. You don't want to increase those bad habits. And we've seen so many times with bad teams, quarterbacks develop bad habits. Again, I will go to this. Everybody praised Cam Ward for throwing that pass across his body to the other side of the end zone to hit Elk Isle Manor. Great throw. But I don't want to get used to that. I want to know he can do it. It's great. There are a lot of quarterbacks that can do that. But I want to see him develop inside the pocket. Then we can have all that stuff. But if his only big plays are coming on those type of plays, you are putting him in positions where he's developing bad habits. We can look to last year, Caleb Williams. Why you think it's so hard, why it's been so difficult for Ben Johnson to get through or get Caleb back on track? Because he developed so many bad habits. Even the ones he had in college, they became double in the NFL. Those things he were doing in college, those bad habits that we loved and looked good in college, Heisman Trophy real plays, he brought that to the NFL and nobody taught him how to develop within the pocket. So he was doing all these crazy things and his team wasn't winning. And what he was doing was going further and further down that rabbit hole of not coming out, period. Luckily, Chicago decided to change their coach, and it seems like he's getting back on track now. I don't want that to happen to Cam Ward. I don't want Cam Ward to take those same problems that he had in college, probably was a few bad habits that he had in college. I don't want those things to multiply now, because if they're multiplying, you're not doing your job in developing the quarterback. So right now, I'm good with Cam, but just like the first three games, the pass game I saw, there were passes that still, and I get it, I hadn't been a quarterback, so I can't tell you, you know, if you've been, you know, pressured 100 times and sacked 79 times that, you know, everything just don't start looking the same after that. And I say that because there's still few opportunities that they have in the passing game that he's turning his eyes too quickly and he's moving out too quickly. Why? Because he has no protection. And the first sign of just pressure, he's getting out of there and trying to make a play. Those are bad habits. And you don't want, and it's not because he want to, it's because he have to. And even when he doesn't, he still sort of leaves the pocket if it starts to get a little mushy in there. You don't want him to be afraid of the pocket. You don't want him to have happy feet in the pocket where he's looking at every turn, he's looking to get out. Those are bad habits you don't want him to develop. And I think those are starting to creep in. But outside of that, he needs to get faster on his eyes. I think he can be the one, when you add more talent, he can be the one that spearheads this change on this team. But you got to get him some more talent. I think he's doing okay right now. It's not great. It's not bad. It's okay. But I just don't want him to start developing bad habits because this team is bad.
Here's one thing that sticks out to me as I look at his statistical profile. His time to throw, his average time to throw, has increased every game. Well, the first 2 weeks it was the same. 2.89 seconds against the Broncos, 2.89 seconds against the Rams. Against the Colts, it was 2.97. Against the Texans, it was 3.1. So you want him to get the ball out of his hands quicker. And I understand the limitations of the offensive line. But that number has increased steadily over his first four games.
Okay, so would we agree with that number when we put our eyes to that?
I do not agree
with that number. I don't know that I see a firestorm each of the four games with pass protection. So I those numbers. That's why I think that the key with analytics is does the eye test match the analytics? So I don't know what the explanation would be. It just doesn't seem like he's had more time. Does it to you, Adam?
I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that question.
Right, neither am I, really. But just listen, when I watch the game.
I'm watching the game.
He looks like he doesn't have
time. I would
time.
Trust Derek's opinion on this.
Watching a game, that's why sometimes, like, I love analytics. Don't get me wrong, Adam and Willie. I love analytics,
watch
too.
The game, nerds.
But I'm saying, in situations like this, you have to also watch the game, too. Because, yes, they're saying 2.3 seconds, but I'm watching the game, and I'm like, man, gosh, that was 2.3 seconds? Like, man, oh, man, that seemed like it was 1 second.
By the way, the only qualified quarterbacks who have longer average times to throw than Cam Ward: Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Caleb Williams, and Justin Fields.
Is it because these guys are able to move? Well, no, because Lamar's the same. But I'm thinking, how are they judging his time to throw? Is it get out the pocket?
No, it's simply the time from when the ball is in his hands to the time he makes a throwing motion.
That's what
I'm
saying.
So if the play is designed for a three-step drop, get it out quick. Uh-huh.
It's the time elapsed from snap to pass forward, excluding sacks. Time elapsed from snap to pass forward.
So that could mean him running around and then throwing the ball, play action, all this other stuff. So that's why I said when you look at the game, I understand what the numbers say, but when I look at the game, it doesn't look like he has time to throw the football. Now, one of the things that is happening here, and I'm starting to see it more and more, and this is why I'm like, the bad habits, y'all need to stop it from happening. And y'all are the Titans are the only people that can stop his bad habits from happening, because as much as he want to stop them, he can't block for himself. So those habits are – he's doing whatever he needs to do to win a football game. So the Titans need to help – they need to help him out, because to me, when I'm watching the game, he has gotten into this sort of habit of leaving the pocket before he needs to. And that is because he's felt so much rush the first two games, it seemed like to him, he was always on his back. So now he's getting out of the pocket. If he feels just a little, just like, if he just sense a guy on his left hand, if he even sense a guy on it, he's leaving. And those are bad habits. Why? Not because of him. It has nothing to do. It has everything to do with the guys in front of him and what they're doing or what they're not doing.
One stat from the NFL: Cam Ward has been pressured on 44% of his dropbacks, which is the third highest mark in the league. When under pressure, 25.8% of those pressures have turned into sacks, the fifth highest pressure to sack ratio in the league. Ward has also lost a league-high 33 expected points added on sacks this season. Now it's your turn for the vibe check. We see your texts. We see your calls. We'll get to them next. 615-737-1025. It's time for our quarterly Cam Ward vibe check. How are you feeling about him after 4 weeks? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and we are presented by Bax Homeworks, remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.
It's this rearranging of deck chairs, and this was going into this year. It was like, okay, we finally have everything aligned. We have our young offensive-minded head coach. We have our general manager who we're able to pry from Kansas City. We have our president of football ops who's going to oversee the whole thing and make sure everything's aligned and turn us into a more forward-thinking organization. And all of this stuff is all set up. And now you're going to fire the coach a month in?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Is it best for Cam Ward at this point? Because
that's the question you got to ask. But at what point does this end? You know what I mean?
That was Albert Breer and Connor Orr on the MMQB podcast on Sports Illustrated.
One of my favorites. It's one that I listen to every week. I think Albert Breer has done as much as any national reporter at coming in to Nashville, talking in depth with the Titans leadership about what the plan is. And so I think he has a good understanding of what they are trying to do. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. I thought that was good perspective there. You put all this stuff in place, and then you're going to scrap it after 1 month. As bad as it is hard to keep your eye on the big prize and keep asking the same question. What is best for Cam Ward?
And I guess that's the dilemma that the Titans find themselves. Do you want to change another coach? One, for the franchise, but then two, more importantly, you want to change the coach for your rookie quarterback? Or do you want to, see if this thing gets better? Because, again, like Trevor said, what is the most important thing? Developing the quarterback. Do you want to win football games? Absolutely you do. Do you have a roster to win a bunch of football games? Hell, do you have the roster to win half of your football games? Probably not. So with that being said, everything from this day on should be what is best for the development of the quarterback. That's it, because that's all that matters. The development of your quarterback and how you surround him with individuals. If you don't think at the end of the season, I don't think she should do it now. I just don't. I get why people want it to be done. I understand that. But I just don't think you do it during the season.
Now, would you keep an open mind to assessing things?
Yes, I would. Exactly.
At the end of the year.
Absolutely.
You may or may not want to do something to change. Something's probably going to change, but I'm talking about scrapping the whole plan and coming up with a new plan at the end of the season. Like, how would you feel about that? Because I'm with you. I want to let it play out. There's nothing to lose at this point, and the big picture is to get the high first-round pick anyway. So how do you feel about – or do you think he's done at the end of the year no matter what? Even if they do what you're saying, and that is ride it out, don't make any more changes from here.
Based on, the calls and texts and everything we've been getting – everybody wants him out of here now.
See, and that's the thing.
They want him
out
of here now.
Do you have the gumption?
Exactly.
But could they change the perception if it looks better at the end of the year?
I'm not sure.
It can't look much worse.
Yeah, I'm not sure that – will it change some people? I think yes. I think it will change some people if she says if we get a feeling, okay, they're going to let this thing ride. And I think if things start turning around, say if they win, three, four games, five games, I think the people that are with him are going to stay with him, meaning the fans that are with him are like, look at what he's doing. He got a bad team. He's doing the best. If you just give him a better team, he can do better. Those people are going to stay with him. The people that don't like him now, want to get rid of him now, they don't care. I don't care what happened. He can win two games or three, four games in a row. We still want him gone. It's that middle group that's sitting there and like, man, I'm upset. I want my team to do better. Can they do it with him? I just want them to make the right decision. Those are the people that I think you need to really pay attention to. You let this thing play out. But all while you're letting it play out, you have to have a plan in your head. Like, yes, I'm letting this thing play out, but I'm putting things in order. So when I have to make my decision, whatever it is, when I have to make my decision, if it is to fire him, bam, we're hitting the ground running. We're not waiting. Why? You waited last time. What happened? It didn't work out for you. You waited until you got into the draft, and then you wanted to start hiring people. Well, that was 2 years ago with the GM. But in this off right now, from this point on, I am setting up two scenarios. One, he stays. I'm going to let it play out. I'm not firing him during the season. I'm going to let it play out. The other one is, while I'm letting this thing play out, but doesn't it get any better, I'm setting up things. So, again, once this season's over with, you get the Black Monday, whatever you want to call it, he's gone, and we are hitting the ground looking for our next coach. And we got people in line. We got guys on a list that we're ready to interview. Once the playoffs is over, if you're talking about a playoff coach, an assistant coach that's on a playoff team, once the playoffs is over, once they're out, we are on the phone and we are ramping this thing up very, very high.
Let's go to your text, 615-737-1025 for your Cam Ward vibe checks. Tommy says, I think Cam is the real deal. The time, I think he means the time to throw, is smoke and mirrors. He's consistently running for his life. Every game reminds me of Patrick Mahomes versus the Bucks in the Super Bowl. I love Cam, but we're going to get him hurt. Let's see, who else? Zach from Columbia says, I still feel good about Ward. I expected a few hiccups from him. The vibe I get from him right now is that he knows his team is not very good. I'm not so sure he even believes in his coach either. If you get that guy a receiver and can fix the line, he has a chance to be very, very good. Joey from Bellevue. Ward hasn't shown any progress. He is still struggling throwing the ball outside the numbers. He is inaccurate at times in the easy completions. Look tough for him. One texter says, on a scale of 1 to 10, my vibe is a 2. I am not optimistic.
I think it's a really good question to ask. Mm-hmm. Is Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, and let me say this. I really would like to hear from Borgonzi and Brinker. If Rand Carthon was going to be skewered for not facing the media, then we do need to hold Borgonzi and Brinker to the same standard, mm-hmm. because they are letting Brian Callahan absolutely be thrown to the wolves. He's got to answer all of the questions, a lot of which have to do with Brinker and Borgonzi. But that aside, I think a key question in this is, I think I've seen enough to think that Cam Ward can be good. Mm-hmm. The question is, how good? Can he be a guy that you win because of him, that you could win a Super Bowl with? Or is he a guy that you could win with him if you have a great roster mm-hmm. around him? Like, there's a lot of levels of good, as we have defined. And so the caller, or the texter there, pointed out some really good things. Like, when he does have better support, how's it going to look? Is he going to be accurate enough? Is he going to be able to put maybe a little more touch on the ball? Because every week I still see mm-hmm. some of those high, hard ones that I know he doesn't have the greatest wide receivers. He doesn't have good wide receivers at all. But those are tough catches, right? So there's room for improvement there.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I get those that are looking at this and saying, well, he's not developing or he's a two. It's tough. I think he's doing what he can. In the situation that he's in, it's not going to always. I talk about his eyes being faster, you know. But things got to work up front the right way. I think in order for a quarterback to be able to scan the way he needs to scan. Again, just watching the games, not just the last one in particular. A lot of times he's getting pressure that's coming right up the middle. Moore Jr., he's just not playing good. He's not. So every time he drops back, it's like, man, if it ain't one guy in his face, it's another guy in his face. And again, even when ain't nobody in his face, it's still people in his face. Because when it's happening so much, it's like, I don't know how it feels really to not have someone in my face. So there are things he needs to get better at. But again, I want people to understand and realize this. You're talking about a guy that it seems like he has that potential. He's a rookie quarterback. And even when things are good, rookie quarterbacks still struggle. Joe Flacco went to the AFC Championship, but we had a damn good team that year. He still struggled at times because he's a rookie quarterback and he's learned. And we had everything set up for him, run game, pass game, but he was a rookie quarterback. So he still made those rookie mistakes even when his pocket was clean. And it was clean a lot because we ran the ball a lot. And when we passed, it was play action, so he got time. I don't think people understand how hard your job is as a rookie quarterback coming in. And on top of that, the roster's bad. The play is bad every week, it seems like. It's not getting better. How is he supposed to thrive? And that's what I got to tell myself sometimes. Like, I'm watching and I'm getting frustrated, but then I got to sit back and say, well, how is he supposed to thrive in this? Who is supposed to thrive in this? Yep. That's just the way I see it.
I think that's a great point, because I still see, like, if he had better things around him, I think we would be asking the question, Is he truly a special enough talent person player that was worthy of the first overall pick? But we can't even get to that question because it's so hard to evaluate him.
Brian on our text line says, his vibe check is numb. Hard to feel anything for the Titans. Brian must be listening to a lot of Linkin Park right now. Skyler said the Titans...
Pink Floyd.
The Titans should have never started Cam Ward this season. Not because he's not good enough, but this team is so bad that it's hurting him in his development. Letting him sit a year while they get more draft picks around him next year just made too much sense. Now we hope they don't ruin him. The other thing, too, and a few people who are much smarter than me when it comes to analyzing football have pointed this out. And tell me if you guys agree as well. Mm-hmm. The spectacular plays, the highlight reel plays, I should say, that Cam Ward has made this season feel like they're independent from the scheme. They're improvisational, which we know Cam Ward can do. That was part of the allure of Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. The touchdown pass to Aya Manor. He had the other pass to Aya Manor. But how many, again, this is a better question for Derek. How many times has Cam Ward made a play that you were impressed by that was a result of the scheme? And can we judge that based on the talent and its relative inability to go out and perform?
I mean, he's made plays within the scheme. They just hadn't been able to take advantage of those series that he's made plays within the scheme. If they take advantage of the series and score, we look at it a little bit different. But if he makes a tight throw on 3rd and 10, and then 3 plays later, they're kicking the ball, they're punting the ball, that's a loss. Those are lost plays, because those plays that are good plays within the drive, you don't capitalize on them. They just end up being just good plays. A wasted play, that's what it is. A wasted play. Why? Because you didn't finish the drive off and score. That's what Cam talked about this past weekend. We're not doing what we need to do. And then once we get across the 50, we just, for whatever reason, we couldn't get anything going. They couldn't sustain drives long enough. And when you can't sustain drives, whatever good plays you have, people forget about them.
Quickly, Zach on our text line says, if the line could give him an extra half a second, I think we would see Cam be able to put those throws to his receivers with a little more touch on them. Seems like he throws it harder at times to get the ball out of his hands quicker and makes it harder to catch. That being said, these receivers got to help the man out.
They don't get open. I try my best not to, unless it's just obvious, I try my best not to criticize those guys. I'm partial to receivers. So, and I know how hard the job is, especially if you're not getting the targets in the flow of the game. And there's a lot that goes into it that I understand that a lot of other people may not understand. But they're not getting open. They're not. If watching the game, it's just like nobody's getting open. I can see why, you know, the offense isn't, you know, moving the ball down the field the way it needs to be, the way it needs to, because no one's getting open. That's why I advise, or I challenge, let me say that, I challenge in a good way, those that love the Titans, like, just watch, go on ESPN, watch the replay of the game, and you will see, like, there are some plays where Cam needs to get the ball out of his, but a lot of times his receiver's just not open, and that's the bad part about
it. It makes it tough.
Yeah.
Just to add to the texture's point there about the offensive line, I just would love to see, I hope for their sake, for everything, that they can get Latham healthy, get Dan Moore playing a little bit better, and have the line looking a little bit more like the professional offensive line that they thought they might have. That is such a big part of what they've been trying to do, and it looks so much like last year, and it's because Latham has been hurt, Zeitler's been hurt, Cushenberry, all of the worst fears have come to fruition, other than Skowronski. Looks like he's taken another step forward. He's good. But Dan Moore's not as good as they hoped he would be, or at least not playing that way right now. Cushenberry's probably not all the way back. He's hopefully going to get better. Zeitler looks older. He's having trouble staying healthy. When he's out there, I think he can still be okay. And then the Latham thing has got a big domino effect because there's such a big drop-off without him in there. Could it look better if you could get those five guys out there playing well?
615-737-1025. We will continue the Cam Ward vibe check. So if you have any thoughts on how you feel about Cam Ward through 4 weeks, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the show this way. If you were fantasy booking a boxing or wrestling match between two NFL coaches, I don't think you could come, well, you probably could, but you may have a hard time coming up with a bigger mismatch than Robert Saleh versus Liam Cohen. And we will discuss that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
Why is everyone hysterical laughing? Why is that so funny?
Oh, my. First of all,
keep walking.
He don't want that smoke with Saleh. Like, Saleh is slow, bro. Like, I know Liam Cohen got a little piss and vinegar about him, but you don't want that smoke with Robert Saleh. I'm telling you. Right?
Oh, man. That was an interesting storyline in the Jaguars' win at San Francisco over the weekend. The Jags, by the way, 3-1. So, Willie, our AFC South champion pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's still got some promise, but D-Mace and the Colts.
We're 3-1.
3-1.
So
none of the three of us picked the Texans, which is looking intriguing right now.
So, in case you have no idea why Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh, the ex-head coach of the New York Jets, now the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. If you're wondering why, and if you, before we get to that, if you couldn't hear the audio very well, I will do a dramatic reading. Liam Cohen, quote, "Keep my name out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your effing mouth." Robert Saleh, quote, "I was trying to compliment your ass. I will F your world up. You don't want to F with me. I will effing end your effing life." And I said to Derek Mason before the show, if someone comes, like, if F you, whatever. If someone comes up to me and says, "I will F your world up," I am gone. But what this stems from is Robert Saleh, before the game against the Jaguars, you know, in the week leading up to the game against the Jaguars, had this interesting quote about the Jaguars. Quote, "They've got legally a really advanced signal stealing type system where they always find a way to put themselves in an advantageous position," so on and so forth. "They're almost elite in that regard." And Liam Cohen took umbrage with that. So they met on the field at the end of the game, and it led to that. By the way, here's a headline from Pro Football Talk. Robert Saleh: I used a poor choice of words to compliment Liam Cohen. He was attempting to compliment him.
That's what he called
it. But I am intrigued by this legally advanced sign-stealing thing. I want to know more about this.
Well, whatever they're doing, it's legal. And
it's apparently working.
It's working. So
I really would like to know what everybody meant by all that stuff. Legal sign stealing? I know that it exists. Well, but I wonder how much gamesmanship was going in. If that was out there,
Yeah.
Like, was that planting the seed? Like, I know what you're doing. You better watch it.
Could have been.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I do want to know the subplot now that this has all been, the gauntlet's been thrown down.
But the bad part about it, they don't play each other. Like,
I know.
It's just like they may not see each other until maybe the Super Bowl, if that. If not the Super Bowl, but 2 or 3 years from now. Yeah, you're right. Dang it.
This from ESPN. Solid, this was from last week, added that other coaches, such as Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell, both of whom either worked with Shanahan previously or have worked in Shanahan's systems, are good at gleaning information from signals. So I don't know what this thing is, but again, that would have been a gigantic mismatch if the two of them got into an actual fight and or wrestling match.
Man,
Robert Saleh is swole. Robert Saleh runs the stairs in the stadium before every game, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey man, we've come to a point where coaches are getting into it. That's what I'm talking about.
Matthew in Nashville says, does Liam have his own Connor Stallions? LOL. I don't know.
Maybe he does, but it's legal. If you want to sit in there do your signals on the sideline, then hey, somebody gets to take them.
Greg on our text line says a bigger mismatch than Liam Cohen versus Robert Saleh would be Dan Campbell versus Mike McDaniel.
I don't think Dan Campbell would waste his time on McDaniel. It's just like, why am I even doing this? No, I don't. No.
But you know I love a good coaching feud. So I saw that this weekend, and I was like, what are they arguing about? Then I learned all about this stuff, but I lost it at I will F your world
listen,
up.
Listen, coaches get competitive just like players. You would be amazed. And now I think now fans get sort of a glimpse of what is said on the field. A lot of times the NFL just, a lot of that stuff they just cut out. But
that was caught by a local San Francisco news outlet.
Usually NFL try not to,
if I'm not mistaken.
You would be amazed, like, how much stuff is just going on during the game, before the game, after the game, that the NFL just don't pick up, and maybe they don't want to pick it up. This stuff like that, arguments, it's been going on forever, but now they're catching everything that is being said, so...
Back to our Cam Ward vibe check quickly, and if you have any thoughts on that, you can get them in. We're on the air for 7 more minutes, so we've got time. 6:15. Yes, Willie.
A quick vibe check from Yankee Stadium. The Yankees Red Sox game is
7:37, 1:025.
I don't really know why they started so early.
Because this was the time they were supposed to start with.
I know, but that's
you can usually, also listen to it on 94.9 The Fan.
I mean, I actually credit baseball for. For starting the games earlier,
started at 6.
I thought it started at 6. Oh, okay. It started a little after 5. Anthony Volpe, a solo shot off of the former University of Tennessee right-hander.
It is 6 there. It's 6 there.
Eastern. 6:50 Eastern. Yeah. Which is very early for an Eastern time game to start. But Anthony Volpe, a solo homer to the short porch in right field off of the former University of Tennessee lefty, Garrett Crochet. 1-0 Yankees, bottom of the third.
Okay. That was our MLB postseason update, courtesy Tigers, of Willie Donick.
Tigers and Cubs won their respective games, game ones earlier today.
Willie Donick loves being an update anchor.
Oh, I love it.
He loves being an update anchor.
Man, the people need to know what's going on.
I think you got a glimpse. Yeah, you did. I don't think you got a glimpse of Willie during March Madness.
No,
he loves the update.
When we were at Boomba's during the first round of the NCAA tournament, Willie was really excited. He was like, pointing
scoreboard update.
Scoreboard update.
We got stuff going on.
Hey, people have brackets. I got an update, guys.
Hey, Willie loved updates, boy. Man, that's his wheelhouse right there.
Yes. Willie, he has a lot of passions.
Yes. Nothing wrong with that.
The Mets, the Predators, Vanderbilt, score updates.
March Madness.
Willie Donick
can now the Red
baseball
Sox.
Playoffs. This is the groove right here. October is what it's all about. We haven't hit October yet.
Well, tomorrow.
Okay, you and I were talking, Willie, and this is a little sad. It's still sports, but a little sidetrack. The WNBA needs to figure something out. because
yeah, their season should be over.
Yeah, their season should be over late July, early August, because now their playoffs is going all while the Major League playoffs is going. Football is really ramping up. College football, so it gets lost.
Yep.
In the mix of all this other stuff. Whereas in June, July, you saw a lot more women's basketball, talked about it on ESPN and all this other stuff a lot more. Now, they say a quick couple of things about it and then move on, it seems like. So they need to change. Yeah. I think they
could,
need to rethink
if they could
that
somehow
one.
Get their spotlight finals by mid-September.
Exactly.
So it doesn't bleed too much into the football season and then the baseball postseason and then the beginning of hockey and NBA. I think that would be – you'd have a better spotlight.
A couple of other Cam Ward vibe checks on our text line. Wes in Hermitage says, TBD. It's been four games with no O-line and a horrible roster. How would anybody know? One texter says, maybe it's time for Brian Callahan to fire Bill Callahan and maybe get somebody in there that's a little bit younger, a little bit more energy, has a better set of the game, maybe a better feel for the game or sense of the game. I mean, Bill Callahan, what is he, 80? I don't think he's that old.
It's not that old.
He's about 60-some.
And can you imagine Brian Callahan firing Bill Callahan? Bill Callahan, by the way, is 69 years old. He is not 80. So
69 is the new 59.
That's what they tell me. I'm not there yet.
Who's they? Me?
Yeah, who is they, Willie?
Am I representing they?
I guess so.
I don't know. Probably. I just threw that out there.
One texter says the vibes are ass.
I guess. Okay. There we go.
We have a numb. We have an ass. We have a TBD.
We're across the board on this one.
I mean, watching the Tennessee Titans every weekend is what I anticipate a colonoscopy feeling like when that day comes. So,
oh man, ooh man, that involves, you don't want it to be that bad.
That
man.
Involves a numb ass, doesn't it?
Yes. So.
Oh boy!
I thought you were talking about it hurting. I'm like, I hope it doesn't hurt as bad as what the Titans are. Well, it doesn't because I got put to sleep.
Yeah,
man,
so you don't.
Yeah,
feel
I was knocked out.
And that's how I felt watching the Titans.
Knocked out. I did fall asleep a couple of times in the game. I'm like, damn.
That may have been.
It was a tough watch.
I have not watched as much football as the two of you, which is another way of saying you're old. That may have been one of the worst football games I have ever seen. Ever. What an awful game. Awful. Just terrible.
It was. Hey, side note here. Another side note.
Sure.
I love YouTube TV now. And I complained about, why is the NFL doing this?
The multi-view?
Yeah, but I love the multi-view. Y'all know I love the multi-view.
The multi-view overwhelms me.
Oh, I love the multi-view.
I can't do the multi-view.
And here's the weirdest thing about the multi-view.
Y'all seen the commercial with Vince Vaughn? And,
yes.
I love that
But
commercial.
Here's the weird thing about the multi-view. I think what it does is it determines which shows you watch a lot of. Mm. So, like, sometimes it's just like, here are four football games you can watch simultaneously. I'm like, oh, okay. But sometimes on a non-football day, it'll be like, okay, here's ESPN, here's Nickelodeon, here's the news channel, and here's something else. It's like, I'm not going to watch SpongeBob and the Yankees and whatever news anchor's on that night at the same time.
What do you mean? It was a fun time.
Listen, it was only meant for sports. That is only meant for sports, and I truly mean that. Because
if you if you multi-view the news,
yeah, something wrong.
You're a sick person.
Yeah, something wrong.
You're a sick person.
Multi-view is meant for sports and sports only, in my opinion. I love multi-view, but more importantly, like YouTube, I get to watch like eight games, man, at one time. I'm like flicking back. I'm watching the Titans on one
How
television.
How could you watch eight games?
I got the multi-view on the television outside on the patio.
Two screens.
Like multi-view over here,
four
screens.
On each.
And then I got the games right here, and I got it on the Titans. But I'm watching. I can see everything else.
I mean, Willie.
Man,
like,
I feel good.
Willie's the only person I know who hasn't cut the cord yet.
Yeah, Willie, cut it, man. Cut it. Cut it. Do it, Willie.
You're gonna be the last. The last guy.
Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, last of the Mohicans.
Dr. Crane is up there too. So
get rid of it, Willie.
I could see Nick Frazier not being a cord cutter. But that'll do it for us today. A wonderful program. We appreciate your participation. As always, we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We're going to dive into Vanderbilt's upcoming matchup against Alabama. Jonathan Hutton at 5. Silly underdog picks at 5:20. We'll catch you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music. Don't forget about us because we will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Peace. Don't you forget about